On Aspire with Emma Greed, we talk about mindset, ambition, and the work that actually moves the needle. Listen to Aspire with Emma Greed, available where you get your podcasts.
This is WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel and Dennis Halnan of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and Dennis by phone at 860-522-9842 or email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com. Get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here are Eric and Dennis on WTIC News Talk 1080.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're going to be here till 11 and help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And it was nice of you guys to join us so early today, giving us something to do on this snowy Saturday morning. We appreciate it. I did do some research on banks are holding Bitcoin, not only being the facilitators of transactions, but they're holding it. So when it goes to, they better not be counting it as an asset. Because I mean, you have all these stress tests, right, Dennis, where they have to test the validity of the bank.
Yeah.
And if they actually list Bitcoin as an asset, exactly. They better not be bailing these guys out. Let's go to your calls, though. Bob in Southington next. Hey, Bob.
Good morning. Thanks for what you do for us over the last 30 years. We really appreciate it.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
Okay. I've got an HP laptop with Windows 11, and on the bottom there's a notification about version 25H2 is available.
Yep.
Should I go ahead and download it?
Yes.
Okay, it's a good thing to do then.
Yes.
That's simple, huh, Dennis?
Yep.
Yeah, that was an easy one.
Yeah.
And then I've also got the Norton 360, and it's telling me that I have 25,000 issues for slowing down my PC, and for only $45, they'll fix them for me.
25,000?
25,000's a lot.
That's a huge number. Yeah, you can ignore that.
Yeah, I mean, if it's Microsoft, we all have that amount of issues, right?
Yeah.
That's such a weird way to sell their product.
I don't even know what it's counting. Maybe it's counting tracking cookies.
Who knows?
It comes up with 20 apps slowing down your PC and broken registry keys and junk files.
Okay. In fairness, there are going to be registry keys that are no longer used and are just left behind. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a whole bunch of cookies in your browsers. None of this really needs any attention, and none of it is slowing your computer down.
Right. That's the key.
Right.
That's the point.
That's the main thing.
Yeah.
Okay. And then every once in a while, I get an occasional warning about an unstable app. What are they really telling me there?
What app is it telling you is unstable?
Yeah, it doesn't really tell you.
No.
Not helpful.
Ignore that, too.
Yeah, I would ignore it. If it doesn't give you a specific app, then
you can't ignore it.
Yep.
Yeah, it's not helpful. It's not a helpful warning. You got to ask yourself, if it knows there's an unstable app, it's got to know which one it is.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
If it can tell you it's got 25,000 issues, but it doesn't know what's an unstable app, right? You got to ask yourself, what's wrong with it? That's where we are when it comes to technology. And the fact that Norton is using that to sell their product is the same thing the bad guys do, because they're going to use the same search on your computer to try to show you these issues that you're talking about, 25,000, to scare you into, wow, that's a lot. And you're not even noticing it, right, Bob?
Yeah, not at all. Nope,
right.
I don't have any
problems. If I were you, I would just uninstall Norton 360.
Okay. Because
if it's going to lie to you in an effort to sell itself,
right,
then why do you even want it? You know, just get it out of there.
Yeah, okay, just use Defender. It's still built into
Defender
Windows 11.
Will run. It'll do the job that you need it to do, and that's enough.
Okay, all right. Well, thanks so much for your help. I really appreciate it.
Our pleasure, Bob.
Take care. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.
Stay warm. Bye-bye.
We'll try. That's really just, it's amazing. 25,000. You don't even notice it. It is the nature of Windows, though, too. So, like, just to let you know, Windows knows it has all those problems, too.
It does.
It doesn't need a third party to tell them it's got 25,000 broken registry keys or busted whatevers. It knows it.
It does.
And it doesn't do anything about it.
Right. It doesn't do anything about it because it doesn't need to do anything about it.
Yeah. It's kind of like a blemish on your skin to the operating system, right? Yeah. I mean, a freckle. Now, freckles are cute in some cases, but if you have an issue, whatever it is, it's not affecting your ability to perform as a human if you got some blemishes or whatever it might be. It's just typical Microsoft baloney with millions and millions and millions of lines of code. You can't imagine how many problems this thing has. And it's kind of a miracle that it works, right, Dennis?
It is.
I'm too snarky this morning. Let's go to Tom in Farmington. What's happening, Tom? I'm still mad about the whole Bitcoin thing. What's going on?
Hello.
Hey, sir.
So I recently switched to GoNet.
Yes, sir.
And I need a mesh system because it comes in a basement and it doesn't. I have a 3-story house.
All right.
And I'm looking for recommendation.
3 stories, including the basement?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, there's lots of them out there, but simply you need to have a Cat 6 cable run from the quote-unquote fiber modem that's in your basement up to a central point in your home. So as far as I'm concerned, a router and the wireless router should be as important in your home as your coffee pot. So run that Cat 6 line up to a spot in your home that's central, and you might be able to get plenty of coverage. How many square feet is your home?
Probably 2,800 square feet.
Okay. You put a good wireless router in the middle of your home somewhere, you'll probably get pretty good coverage just starting there. And then you could always add access points that would mesh together with the same product. I'm a fan of Linksys still. There's others out there, though. Orbi's got one, I think.
Yeah. And then there's Wemo.
Yeah.
Or Emo. Eero.
Eero, right.
Yeah.
There's lots of them out there that you could take a peek at, but I still like the Linksys, and you just get a good quality firewall that just broadcasts from there. I think ASUS has got a good firewall. Stay away from TP-Link.
Yeah.
TP-Link's got some issues, but anything we just talk about could have issues tomorrow, just so you know, as FortiGate just found out. I would tell you to look at those. You know, if you spend $200 or $300 on a good wireless firewall that sits in the middle of your home, it should broadcast and cover quite a big area before you then need to consider dead spots.
Okay. So the GoNet, the system comes in, has the box, and then it has its own router. Now, if I took that router and got it to the middle of the house.
Yeah, that could work.
That would work.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It might.
Just run a patch cable from down to your basement where that modem is and relocate the router upstairs.
Okay.
Just remember, Wi-Fi has gravity. It likes to go down. I can't explain it to you because at least the physics of it shouldn't make that kind of a difference, but it seems to.
So your downstairs will get better coverage than your upstairs is what Dennis is saying. Now, also it has issues with concrete, so if your house is made out of concrete, you have a problem too, but I doubt it is.
Okay. Because originally I had Comcast, and I had the router was like at the top floor, and it's able to service everything. But by switching here, when it came in, the router is in the basement. So if I can move that router to the same spot,
it
probably should work.
Exactly. Yeah, if there's already a Cat 6 cable running from the top floor down to the basement, yeah, you're good. Plug it in.
Okay. Or if there's not, just run one. Because before, with Comcast, you were able to use the old coax to get it to the third floor.
Correct. That's a good point.
You know what I mean?
They would put the modem. Put the modem wherever you want to on the cable system. Yeah. Yep.
Right. So if I can get the Cat 6 to the same spot and move this O-Net router, I should be probably good.
Yep. You probably will be fine. I'm surprised they didn't do that for you.
I don't know. Basically they said I'll put it here, and then if you want a better signal, I'd have to buy a mesh system. Which if you're looking at some of them, they're like $600 or so.
Oh yeah.
If you want three pods or whatever.
Right. But your idea, this idea is a better way to go. cheaper, relocate, see how it works, and then maybe need one more coverage for the basement or something like that.
Okay.
We'll see how it goes.
All right. Sounds good.
All right, Tom. Good luck.
All right. Thank you.
All right. You got it. Bye-bye. It's got something to do today.
Yeah.
I got to patch a ceiling.
Oh, whoa.
Bees.
Bees? Mm. You have bees?
I had bees.
Oh, had them?
The hole was drilled 2 years ago. Oh,
2 years ago.
I'm sick and tired of looking at that green tape. And it's like, I got to do, who wants to do that though, right? The guy scared, also scared us. He's like, don't take the tape off. It's, it'll kill you, right? The poison that I stuck up there 2 years ago.
Oh.
So I'm like, okay, I guess there's probably a half-life in this stuff. Maybe I'll be okay. But my wife's like, when are we going to patch that hole? So that's what I'm going to try to do this weekend. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. Four lines open for you. Everything we talked about posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. So you don't have to think about it. The links are there for you. All links are there typically for all shows. So you can go back and see what we've talked about in past weeks. And if you follow us over at the Tab Computer Systems, the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network, just ask to join. And we'll let you in and you can get all the links that way, or you can follow us on X if you follow Tab Computer Sys. Mike G posts all that. All right. We're here until 11 o'clock. Four lines open for you. Feel free to get online and we'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. There is a story that, you know, if you follow Bitcoin at all, there's a Korean exchange. Mm-hmm. That supposedly made a $40 billion error on Friday.
$40 billion with a B?
With a B. It says $40 billion error. Basically, this South Korean crypto exchange called BitThumb, they mistakenly distributed more than $40 billion worth of Bitcoin inadvertently to people they really meant to send like hundreds of won to, Korean currency.
Okay.
But the operator that was doing the work here ended up sending 2,000 Bitcoin to each of these folks and in their exchange, who was some sort of promotion. And basically then those people said, oh, wow, I got all this Bitcoin in my account. And they started selling it.
They started selling it right away so they could cash it in.
Produced a huge drop. So I wonder why they wanted to sell it. Was it not worth anything there?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe they wanted actual money instead of Bitcoin. So it caused a huge drop, like a panic selling that started happening. So you have the just one ding-a-ling exchange in Korea that decides to give away Bitcoin instead of won. You know, it was literally going to be a $425 thing versus a $40 billion thing. They screwed it up that bad, caused a huge massive panic sell-off. This is what you're dealing with in these exchanges.
Yeah.
This is Bitcoin for you people. And how do you give the power to transfer that kind of money around, or that kind of fake money around, to anybody? I mean, obviously if it's not worth anything, nobody cares. Clearly they have no protections. You just can't make it up. The Financial Services Commission said it convened an emergency inspection on Saturday, joined by other regulators. Regulators. Nice job. So if you're invested in this type of thing, there's more stories. Accidental 2,000 Bitcoin airdrop crashes Bitcoin price 10%. That's just one ding-a-ling exchange that can take your Beanie Baby to zero, which I'm hoping for. I am. There's lots of folks out there that can't understand this whole thing. And, you know, you look at Strategy, MicroStrategy, that company now is just called Strategy. But they started many years ago as a programming company that actually helped with data analytics and stuff like that. And then they decided, you know what, we're just going to accumulate Bitcoin. They're the largest holder of Bitcoin, largest single corporate holder of Bitcoin. They had a huge loss that they had to report on Thursday before it tanked on Friday. So they're losing money on the thing before it tanked further on Friday. And I don't know, if your goal is to accumulate all, let's just assume you did. You've got all the Beanie Babies, Dennis. You've got them all.
Whoa.
And I don't care about your Beanie Babies. You can have them all. What do you got?
I got a bunch of Beanie Babies.
Yeah, because it doesn't produce any interest. It doesn't produce anything at all. If nobody wants your Beanie Babies, because you can create a Bitcoin out of whole cloth tomorrow. It was created out of whole cloth in the first place. And you can say, you know what? I'm going to make another Bitcoin, and I'm only make it so you only have 10 of them. 10 coins. And that's going to be worth $1 billion a coin. Let's go. I mean, it's lunacy that we're even dealing with this stuff. And it's someone's going to end up holding the bag. It won't be me. It will be us if we bail these dinglings out.
Right.
Then we're all holding the bag. Let's go to Seth in Bloomfield. What's going on, Seth?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I got two questions for you. I have a bunch of old cell phones that I want to get the pictures off from. How do I go about doing that?
Can you power them up?
Yeah, I could power them up. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you could do it as simply as plugging in a USB cable and plugging them in as like an external drive into your computer. Your computer should recognize it.
The computer will recognize it because I tried it and it didn't recognize it.
You may have to enable something on the smartphone in order to make it share the files with the computer. But yeah, the computer should recognize it.
Yeah, there are steps in Android, and we can find a link there to how to turn that mode on. Because you're right, Dennis. Originally, it was just plug it in and go. Some of them now require a mode you have to turn on and tell it to go into this mode. Also, be aware that the pictures may or may not be in, they may be in multiple spots on the phone. You could have a separate storage card where the pictures reside, as well as like natively on the phone itself, too.
Yeah, and then you got the problem of which directory the files will be in once you can find where they are. You may have a little exploring to do is the point.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know of a place that sells, I have a bunch of like two or three real old cell phones that got the real wide charging cables.
Yeah.
But I can't find the cables. Is there a place that sells those kind of things?
Maybe eBay. Anybody, there's got to be a place on the interweb or the internet there that has that.
Yeah.
But I couldn't tell you off the top of my head. But that, okay. You know, eBay would be the first place I would go.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir.
You got it, Seth. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Three lines open for you. Carolyn's getting a call right now. 860-522-9842 is the number. And we'll do our best to help you out on this cold, snowy Saturday in Connecticut. Punxsutawney Phil said we're going to have a few more weeks of this, so buckle up. We'll be right back.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Brayton, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Brayton wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are back. Going to be here till 11 o'clock. If you don't have your chicken wings ordered, forget it. It's probably impossible now. Got to go to my brother's on Sunday.
Oh.
He's a Patriot fan. Yes, it's that.
And this is a problem for you?
Yeah, it's about seventh time. I have a Jets beer mug that my wife gave to me early in our relationship, even before we were married, I think, that I meant to use at some Super Bowl game as I watch the Jets play.
And you can't.
It's completely untouched. It has never seen beer. So, yes, I'm happy to go over there and root for the Seahawks and my former Jet quarterback Darnold there. But it's going to be just another Patriots Super Bowl. Let's go to Louis in New Britain. What's happening, Louis?
Good morning. Bad problem. Hopefully you can help me out or send me in the right direction. I'm 72 years old. I don't know computers. So I'm not in box.
All right.
Approximately 5 years ago, my friend's son set up my Facebook page, and everything was working fine. Unfortunately, about 6 months ago, I got pretty ill, and I was in the hospital for a while.
Oh, sorry.
Me too, but I'm here, so that's the good news.
Yes, sir.
The problem is he had it set, so all I had to do was go on and hit Facebook, you know, automatically had everything inserted and login and all that.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
I do, yep.
Well, when I got out, for some reason, the battery went dead in the computer, got a new battery in, and all the information was gone.
Mm-hmm.
So like Ding Dong, nobody wrote down the password
right
to get in.
Yep. You can.
And I've had a lot of people trying to help me. I've went through everything, and I can't get in.
So you've gone through the recovery process of the of your account, and you can't still get in?
Right. I had my niece coming over and a couple other people who knew computers.
Mm-hmm.
I even called, I don't know if I should mention her name, but the squad, if you know what I'm saying.
Yep, yep. and no luck.
Yeah, no, and they keep telling me that I violated what, a community?
Oh, a community standard. That happened. Yeah, I was on a WFSB program real quick for that type of thing where Facebook is just randomly targeting accounts and saying they have violated a community standard and their whole account gets destroyed. So there is a process you have to follow, but it's arduous. There's two choices, I guess. You could create a new Facebook account.
Thank you for that. We've tried that. That's where I think we got in the worst trouble. Because we tried to surpass this, get by it.
Yeah.
So we tried to start, and for some reason they knew it was us trying to do it again, and they kept shutting us down.
Well, Louie, don't use the same email address. You can't. Of course, they knew that. Did you use the same email address?
No, we didn't. We tried it on the phone, and one of the problems is one of the emails I tried is close to my wife's email. We're like one letter off. I'm an L. She's a S.
Yeah.
So Facebook don't like me right now. My wonder is there any way to get this done? I know I can't contact them because, Lord, I've tried. You can't get a hold of them, guys.
It's a problem. So we can put a link up here for people who have been excommunicated from Facebook incorrectly. They don't care about you. Because you know why they don't care about you, Louie?
I'd love to hear this.
Well, the reason they don't care about you, Louie, do you pay a penny for their service?
Yeah.
Right. You spend not a cent with them, right? You don't give them a penny. You want to know why? It's because you're the actual commodity, right? You're the thing they're selling. Think of yourself as a potato. You really are just a thing to sell. They don't. You're not a customer, right? You're not anything to them other than metadata. What does Louie do? Where does he go? What is he like? What is he interested in? How do I market to him? The people who are paying Meta and Facebook are the marketers to sell you stuff. They don't care if you're there. They get a billion potatoes. They don't need another one. So whether or not you get back on Facebook, they could give two you-know-whats. So
I hear
you're basically out of luck, but we can put a link here to some of the things that we've seen out there as far as ways to try to get back online. You can create an email address that is so different from what you were. However, they do have algorithms. Like if you use a picture of yourself, they're probably going to recognize you.
That's what the problem is. My Facebook page is still there. People are actually accessing it.
Yeah, you can't.
I run into them and they think I'm an asshole because I'm not. I'm sorry. They think I'm an idiot because I haven't responded to them. They wish me happy birthday. I don't get back to them.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? But it's there. Everything is there. I'm the only one in the world that can't access it.
Yeah, I know. So there's two choices. Get on a different social media, which is like you could try Instagram. However, that's part of Facebook. You could try other social media platforms. And tell your friends you've moved here and tell them why. But you can also go through the process. Right? And there is a process, but it's not one that they really care about because they don't. You're just a potato. You're just a thing they're selling. And they have a billion of you.
What if I called up and said I wanted to do some advertising? Would they be able to? Oh, I'm kind of serious.
I know you are. They probably would take your money to advertise, but still wouldn't. Have your account because you would need a business account, right? So you have to create some sort of Louie LLC business account and then say you're going to pay them for advertising. So they would probably allow that. If you wanted to be Louie LLC, go for it.
Somebody told me that maybe the only way out is to get a brand new computer.
Nope.
And start.
Nope.
It has nothing to do with the computer. It
has to do with you. It has to do with anything connected to you. The one thing about Meta, again, metadata, is the reason they're called Meta, is they know who you are. They know where you're located. They know your email address. They know your face. They know your friends. They know how you're connected. So you think about 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. That's how Facebook works, right? Basically, it knows your group of friends is not my group of friends, and it can do the reverse connectivity to see if you are Louie or not.
So they think I'm Lottie and they're not going to let me play nice.
Correct. And this is an issue. It's a big issue. Many, many tens of thousands of folks are being excommunicated incorrectly for all sorts of reasons that they're giving. And they're using AI to do it. And they're not using any kind of intelligence to put you back. And again, they don't care. Whole businesses have been destroyed because of this type of thing where they lose access to their customers because of this type of stuff. So we'll give you some things to try, Louie, but we don't have any special in with Zuckerberg. We could be excommunicated tomorrow.
I got one last question for you, and this is I've been thinking about. I kind of know the answer already, to tell you the truth, but would it help to contact, like, one of my U.S. senators? Would they have any access to be able to help you out?
No.
I wouldn't think so, but I don't know if it would hurt. Well, I don't really have faith in him. Just saying, it's an avenue to use.
Give him something to do. They'll send you a form.
Probably not going anywhere, but you could give it a shot.
Yeah.
Hey, it's an election year. You never know, buddy.
Yeah, they'll send you an email back saying thank you for contacting me, Louie.
You're going to put something up on Ling.
Well, yeah, I'm sure they're looking for some articles. This is a big problem. There's lots of information out there.
We're posting one article about recovering the account and another one about appealing a suspension because of community standards.
And you might need third parties to assist. Other people on Facebook may have to vouch for you. Now, I don't even know you, and I'd vouch for you.
All right,
you need to have people vouch.
It sounds silly, but these are guys I've worked with for 50 plus years, and to lose that camaraderie, I don't know whether they are no more. They're all over the country, and it's kind of tough. I mean, we used to get together once a week for like a foreman's meeting.
Yep,
and it's too bad.
It is, and again, Facebook is used by folks on the older generation because it came out a while ago. If you moved over to Instagram, you could try a different platform and see if you get your buddies to join you over there. That could be a way around it.
I'd have to contact 112 people that I don't know where they are anymore either.
Yeah, so. Good point.
And going to the squad would not be any good because waste the money.
Going to where?
The squad, I don't want to say.
Oh, yeah. They can't help you. They can't help
you. Yeah, they're not going to know.
This is basically Facebook.
I've been listening to you guys for a long time. If anyone was going to help me, it was going to be you.
Sorry. It's a club, Louie. You're welcome. We have no power in the club.
I'm going to try calling Mr. Blumenthal. We'll see what happens.
Good luck.
Maybe if you could figure out a way to get a camera in front of him, he'll do it for you.
Yeah, you put a camera in front of him, he'll be like, I'll be helping Louie, and I will guarantee you nothing's going to happen.
I could start in my LLC and invite them to the grand opening.
There you go. They'll do that. Somebody will cut a ribbon with you that they had nothing to do with.
Hey, I appreciate you very much, guys. Good luck to you.
You got it, Louie. Bye-bye. That always drives me nuts seeing politicians in front of ribbons. You got the entrepreneur who's put all their blood, sweat, and tears into that, whatever it is, whether it's the bakery or the restaurant or the company they've opened, and these politicians get in place like they did something. You didn't do anything. Hopefully you got out of the way. And you're not going to do anything to help them if they start to fail. We're going to step out for a quick break. Let's get to your calls. Gary, hang on. We'll step out for that break. Get right back to you. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. We're in the final stretch here.
Hey, y'all. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Reality Gaze. Let's love.
And feel free to get online. We'll do our best to answer your question before the top of the hour. And then Morgan Cunningham will be live, I assume, with Spotlighting Something in Connecticut.
Spotlight CT.
So stick around for that. The Mr. Radio himself, Morgan Cunningham, will talk about something here in Connecticut that you will find of interest. So stick around. Let's go to Gary in Wethersfield next. What's going on, Gary?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Your opinion of cloud storage versus hosting it locally yourself.
What are you doing? What are you storing?
I have a lot of research papers that I like to have access to when I'm on the road or from different machines.
Mm-hmm.
And with cloud storage, I find it sometimes have syncing problems, you know, with versioning and what have you.
Syncing problems, yes.
Yeah, so I'm not sure. I was looking into locally hosting, or would VPN be an option?
Well, VPN is a way for you to get back to your local computer, but there are NASs right. out there that offer the ability to remote into them and offer your own storage repository of your data.
I saw that.
Now they have been hacked, and they've also lost data just randomly.
Western Digital had a bunch where they were taking advantage of an exploit in the NASs.
Yeah.
And they were just sending command to delete everything.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's what I have for NAS.
Yeah.
For Western Digital. Okay.
So either way, there's at risk. So if you put it in the cloud, wherever you're putting it, read the EULA, the user license agreement, and who knows what the cloud repository says they can do with that data. Is it their data now? Is it your data now? Can they train the AI on that data? I don't know. I assume not, but don't assume a new EULA can come out tomorrow that says they can.
Right. So, how about local hosting it if I were to set up a server and locally host?
That's a lot of effort.
Well, yeah, you'll have to set it up on your network, which, you know, you can do.
Mm-hmm.
But then you would have to set up a VPN service into your own network.
With a static IP.
And you either want a static IP or you'll need to use dynamic DNS or something so that you can remote in from outside. But that's kind of a lot of work.
My thought would be to use the cloud. I know it's silly for me to, you may not believe me I'm saying this, but for what you're saying and doing, the cloud does make some sense, right? Trying to do it the other way is going to be a lot more work for you to maintain, especially when you actually need the file. Oh, you want this file on your NAS and you forgot to put it there or whatever. Oh, your internet's down or what have you. That can happen in the cloud too, because the cloud was down for 10 hours a couple weeks. Like
last week.
So I would tell you to use the cloud because it should be easier, quote unquote.
Here's what I would do. I agree probably cloud is storage is the best thing.
Yeah.
But periodically back up whatever you've got in your cloud to a local NAS.
Or another cloud.
Or to a different cloud, right. That way you've got everything backed up, but you're not actively trying to connect it inside your network all the time, and maybe it works right and maybe it doesn't, and maybe it isn't too difficult to set up or whatever. I mean, it's kind of a dance. I mean, I have a setup like that myself, and I know what it took to get it working, and I know what it takes to keep it going.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking out loud, it's probably a lot to do. That's all.
Okay. Yeah, I appreciate the advice. I do back up. I religiously back up the data.
Okay. But make sure you back up. The cloud itself goes away.
Assume that cloud is going to someday will vanish. And you'll want to be able to fall back on something. So whatever that something is has to be something that you can get to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the advice. And finally, I'm a long-time suffering Jets fan, too, with family members that are Patriots. So
it's rough.
I feel your pain. Yeah, absolutely. One day, I'm hoping, it'll be opposite.
One day. But on that day, Gary, will we really have any kind of joy? Can we even, as Jet fans anymore for this long, can we even experience any kind of exuberance if they actually did win? What would we feel? I don't even know that we would feel happy.
You're right. Well, I'm going to envision that we would. At least it'll carry me through.
Maybe. I mean, it was like the Red Sox for so many years, and I was excited for that. But I just don't know that we would feel happy anymore. I think we've lost the ability as Jet fans.
You're probably right.
I think we're better at wallowing than we are at rejoicing.
So true. true. So true. Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate your help.
Thank you, Gary.
Have a good weekend.
You too. Bye-bye. Oh, fellow Jet fan. There's a lot of us out there, believe it or not. There's the stadium keeps filling up. 50 years plus later, people go to these games to watch them. I don't know what we're watching anymore. Maybe it's like watching a, you know, slow motion car crash or something like that.
Yeah, it's almost like rubbernecking.
It's morbid. Yeah, it's rubbernecking NFL for Jet fans. So we're here till 11 o'clock. And then, of course, at 11 o'clock, Mr. Radio, right?
We'll be on the radio.
Morgan Cunningham. I'm not sure what he's spotlighting. I didn't hear anything about what he's spotlighting. But he's spotlighting something, I'm sure. And if you're under the Morgan Cunningham spotlight, you're going to be sure to be lit.
The topics he finds are pretty darn interesting quite often.
Yes, they're unique to the area, and so stick around for that. Everything we've talked about has been posted over at Computer Talk with Tab. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. And, of course, over our Facebook page, if you follow us on Facebook over at the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network, you can go ahead and follow us and you can post questions. There's folks in there that will try to help each other with answers. We're not vetting those answers. We assume they're all in positive, good-natured help. Dennis is very active in there himself.
Yeah, and then there have been some really helpful suggestions between the listeners, so that's great.
We used to have a forum back in the day. When those existed, and we maintained that. But Facebook does seem to be the best way to kind of get this going. So you can be a member of that page. Of course, follow us on Spotify or on Odyssey. Download the app. You can listen to any of the past programs we've talked about. We've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of hours. I mean, a lot of time out there. 29 years worth of radio shows, and I think we started doing this at least 20 years ago as far as podcasting. It goes way back. So you can even hear me before my voice changed. Just kidding. Do you want to bring up any news, Dennis, before we go to the top of the hour here?
Well, yeah. I've got a story about the FBI.
Yeah, what are they doing?
They're having trouble getting into a journalist's Apple iPhone.
I did see that, yeah.
The phone is in lockdown mode, and they can't get anything on it.
And it's something people don't know about. This goes way back to when there was that terrorist in Los Angeles, and the FBI was trying to get into their phone.
Right.
And Apple wouldn't help, right? And
no, they won't help at all.
The Israelis ended up helping them.
Well, yeah, we think.
Yeah. So now there's a lockdown mode, which is...
And the lockdown mode was basically, it existed before San Bernardino, but changed it because of that.
Oh,
They wanted to make it harder.
Yep.
So
they're trying to get in. Now, again, I would contend the data is already synced up to the iCloud and they're already hacked into it, but maybe not. Maybe the lockdown mode is also encrypted in the same way. I don't know. Because that access is, I think, different than... the local access to the device. It's probably easier to hack the cloud account. But yeah, they're having trouble. So it's a bad guy, right? They're trying to get information from?
No, they're trying to get it from a journalist.
Oh, a journalist on top of that?
Yeah, a reporter.
Yee.
Trying to get all her data.
That's kind of interesting. Yep. We'll put the story out there for you, but they're having trouble getting access to it. So not that she was doing anything wrong.
Well, as far as we know, I mean,
I don't know.
We do have the First Amendment, right?
Yeah, we do.
So
far,
as long as it lasts.
Exactly. let's see what that's all about. We'll put a link up there for you guys to check that out too. So I want to thank you guys for joining us. I want to thank Carolyn for producing, Mike G for posting everything live, and you guys as well for joining us on this cold Saturday morning. And stick around. Morgan Cunningham is up next. He'll spotlight something cool for you.
And remember, we want you to be geeks too, and go Patriots.
Yeah, see you next Saturday.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.